Hey, it's really a special day for us because I think that Gateway has an abnormal amount of amazing mothers. So if you would agree with me, can we just give it up for the ladies here? It's so grateful for you. Well, we are starting a brand new series called The Art of Being Unordinary. And let me just start with just a very simple definition from Webster's Dictionary. Ordinary is defined as of no special importance, commonplace, unexceptional, plain or undistinguished, customary, usual, or normal. Can I just pause there and say, who would want that to define their life, right? I can't think of anybody, because if I could just preach for a second here, God has not called you as a follower of Jesus, or in fact, just as a human being created by him, to be unexceptional or undistinguished or normal. In fact, God has not called us to be unexceptional, but to be exceptional, that by the way that we live our lives, that it would alert people that there is another way of living, another reality that God has called us to. I think this last one is interesting. It says, ordinary is defined as normal. Let me just give you an example today of what normal is. These come from various studies, reputable studies. 75% of Americans say that they're stressed out. I probably don't have to convince anybody of that today because it's probably some of us here this morning, right? 75% of us say that we're stressed out, and that's realized by people either laying at bed at night, unable to go to sleep because they're so consumed by a problem or a crisis or something they're trying to figure out. People are stressed out. They're nervous or anxious excessively, irritable or angry. That means, you know, somebody just does something little and you fly off the handle because you're stressed out, or maybe because you're just so exhausted because of the stress that life has placed upon you. 75% of Americans say they're stressed out. What about this? What's normal when it comes to money today? Normal today in our culture is in debt. It's financial fear, it's fighting about money, it's pursuing things that can never truly fulfill us or satisfy us. That's what's normal today. Think about what's normal in our culture today when it comes to our professional careers. Over half of the workforce today is unsatisfied with their career choice. 71% of people today are currently looking for new jobs because of dissatisfaction. That means people are working for a paycheck, doing something they don't really like just to get by. Ordinary is feeling like there has got to be something more, but I can't put my finger on it. How about this? What's ordinary in our relationships? 60% of people, according to one study, say that they are unhappy in their most important relationships. That means people are fighting about money, they're fighting about kids, they're fighting about schedules, they're fighting about everything. We're not communicating well, we're not committing long term, we're not investing in one another. That's normal. Can we just all pause and admit that normal is not working? Ordinary is not working. If you're taking notes, write this in. This is important, that if you want what ordinary people have, do what ordinary people do. But if you want what few people have, you've got to do what few people do. Think about this. If you want what ordinary people have, you just go ahead and do it like them. Do it like the majority of culture. But if you want something better, if you believe that there is something better than where the majority of people are headed in their life, then you've got to learn the art of being unordinary. In fact, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." And how many people enter that gate? Say it out loud. And many. Oh, that was just me, I think. Let's try that again. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And how many people find this? And only few people find it. Only few. Listen, the gate is narrow, the road is narrow, not because Jesus is trying to keep people out. That's why he came, is to let people in. It's narrow because so few people are actually willing to do what it takes. If you want what ordinary people have, do what ordinary people do. But if you want what few people have, then you've got to be willing to do what few people do. Let me say it like this, that I believe that we are all naturally headed for ordinary. that if we pick up our feet and we relax and we coast along and we're not living by priority and there's no intentionality in our life and we're not living with goals, the natural result is we're going to have this ordinary life. We're going to end up where most other people end up. But it takes a conscious decision to learn the art of being unordinary. I think what we see in the teachings of Jesus and the teaching of Scripture is that these things, they lead us off of the ordinary path. They lead us off the broad path and lead us onto the narrow road. And if we want what normal people have, I'm just going to say it again, ordinary people have, do what ordinary people do. But if you take this book seriously and you follow the teachings of Jesus, it's going to lead you on a path that's way better, way off of the ordinary path. And so let me build a foundation for the series that we'll be on over the next several weeks. Just two very simple thoughts. In fact, they're almost so obvious it's hard to mention, but I'm going to lay the foundation. And thought number one is this. If you want to be unordinary, number one, taking notes, is change the way that you think. If you want to be unordinary, you've got to change the way that you think. In fact, Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let me say that again. Don't copy it. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. In other words, don't live like ordinary people live, just going along with the flow, living like the majority of people. Don't do it like that. But instead, he says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? By changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know what God's will is for you, not what other people's will is. Not what somebody else's agenda for your life is. You'll learn to know what God's will is for your life. And God's will, if you want to know, is good and pleasing and perfect. I like the way that the Message puts it. It's kind of a devotional paraphrase of this verse. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. It's what happens to most of us. We fit into it without even thinking. There's no intentionality. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. How many of you want God's best for your life? God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. See, unordinary people don't think like ordinary people think. Now, if you would just think about this last week, if you would with me, think about your schedule, all the things that you had to get done, all the places that you had to go, people that you had to visit. How'd you feel? Think about how you managed your money this week, what you spent, what came in, what you didn't spend, your budget, all that kind of stuff, what you didn't budget. How do you feel about that? Think about your relationships, either with your spouse or with your kids or your friends or your coworkers, and just how you engaged the people that are important to you. How do you feel about that? What about your values? These are the things that you say are most important that guide your life. Did your values line up with your actions? Think about your life, and let me ask this question. In which of these areas were you living the exceptional, unordinary life that God has for you? Typically, this is how it plays out for the majority of people. You think about, how does culture think about schedules and time management? What's ordinary? Well, just practically speaking, the way that culture manages time today basically says, can I? If somebody comes to you and say, hey, can you do this? And the question you ask is, can I? And so if you say yes, you add this to the plate of your to-do list of things that you have to get done. That's what ordinary people say, but unordinary people will think differently. They won't say, can I? They will think, should I do this? Is this a good thing or is this a great thing? Is this a good thing or is this the God thing that God is calling me to do? Because I'm telling you that life gets way too crowded out of doing lots of good things and it crowds out the opportunity for the great things that God has for our lives. And so oftentimes we have to have the courage to say no to these things so that we can say yes to the great things that God has. Can I? Should I? What about this? How does culture think about money? What's ordinary? Well, ordinary in our culture today, regardless of the demographic, is cash poor. We may make lots of money. We may own lots of stuff, but we've got very little margin in our lives. So we're living with this principle of instant gratification. I've got to have this now. And so I'll charge it now and I'll worry about it later. That's what ordinary people think. But instead, what would happen if we changed the way we thought about how we stewarded finances? Instead of asking the question, can I buy it? We begin to ask the question, is it wise to buy it? Because I'm a steward of God now. I'm changing the way that I think about it. And so because I'm changing the way I think about it, my question is it wise? God, is this the way that you would have me steward the resource that you've given me? See, you live unordinary now. You give generously now. You save now. You budget well now so that later you can live unordinary. How about this? How does culture think about relationships today? What's ordinary? Well, I'll tell you, if I could be blunt with you, that ordinary parents, they ask this question, what will make my kids happy? What will make my kids happy? And so parents end up letting their kids determine their schedule or the priorities in the house instead of you leading your kids to your desired goal. Instead of leading our kids, we say yes way too much out of a fear that our kids won't like us. So how do unordinary people think? Unordinary people think, my goal isn't to make my kids happy, because that's a fleeting feeling. My goal is not even primarily that they'll like me, even though that would be nice. My goal is that they will grow up to be mature and complete, independent and yet fully reliant on God, following Jesus wholeheartedly. And so instead of pleasing them, I'm going to disciple them and leading them to the best that God has for them in their life. See, ordinary in our spousal relationship is so oftentimes living as roommates, not as life partners, where we share the same values and goals with a deep level of trust and intimacy. Unordinary people think, my spouse is a gift from God. It says commitment's not based off of emotion, but off of a commitment that I've made before God. And so therefore, I'm going to commit to having fun with my spouse, to fighting fair with my spouse, to praying together with my spouse, and never giving up on my spouse. That's how ordinary people think. The truth is if you want what ordinary people have, hey, you just do what everybody else does. You do what ordinary people do. But if you want what few people have, then you've got to be willing to do what few people do and how they think. Now, here's why this is important. If you're taking notes, you can write this in. That what you think determines how you live. What you think determines how you live. How you think what is most important determines the trajectory of your life in those different areas of your life. Which leads me to the second thought. If the first one is unordinary people think differently, the second thought is unordinary people, you've got to change the way that you act. If you want to be unordinary, change the way that you act. I'll say it like this, is that when you take the word of God seriously, let me just say that again so we all grab this, is that when you take the word of God, when you take scripture seriously, you follow the words of Jesus seriously, you are going to look different than the rest of culture. And if you're not different, if you look like everybody else and act like everybody else and talk like everybody else and set goals like everybody else and prioritize like everybody else, then the chances are you're probably not following Jesus, because the more you pursue Jesus and follow Jesus, the more you're going to be different from the culture that you're surrounded by. Your values are going to change. Your priority is going to change. What motivates you is going to change. The way that you live will change. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, Peter says it like this. He says, "Dear friends, I warn you. I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." In other words, here's what Peter's saying. He's saying there are actions that you can take, there are habits that you can form that you don't want to take or form because they war against your soul. That they're going to take you where you don't want to go. They're going to damage you. They war against your soul. Verse 12, he says, "Be careful to live." In other words, the way that you act. "Be careful to live properly among unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong." In other words, the way that you act is so different from the culture around you that it draws attention. "You're not living like us. Why are you crossing the street to introduce yourself to me as your neighbor? That's unordinary. Why do you always pray for me when you find out that I'm sick? That's unordinary. Yet even if they accuse you of doing wrong, he says, they will see your honorable behavior and they'll give honor to God when he judges the world. If you want to be unordinary, you've got to change the way you act. And I think that when you follow Jesus, he's going to lead you to a life that is exceptionally unordinary. I think about this church, and I think about people in our church, and there are those of you that have adopted when you could have had biological children. That's unordinary. I think about people in our church that have continually made room in their hearts and in their homes for foster kids, and that's unordinary. I think about people that have businesses, and yeah, they want to make money and grow the business, but their primary concern is, I want the people in my business to come to know Jesus. That's unordinary. I know people that everywhere they go, whether it's the coffee shop or getting their haircut or whatever they're doing, they're constantly praying for people and serving people and loving people. That's unordinary. It's beautifully and powerfully unordinary. And I'm telling you that God wants you to break the mold. He wants to take you out of ordinary and teach you how to live an unordinary life. And for you, it may well be fostering kids or adopting kids. It could be leaving a lucrative job so that you can spend the next 15 years of your life investing in your kids. Or it may be a calling to go back to work because you can make a difference there. God may be calling you to make a difference. God may be calling you to get to know all of the neighbors in your block. God may be calling you as you come out of a wild lifestyle to sexual purity. I mean, all of these things are unordinary. You may have kids in sports, or you may have hobbies on the weekend, and so you talk to the coach or the organizer or the friends that you love to hang out with and say, hey, I'm in. I want to hang out. We're committed. But we'll never be able to be there on a Sunday morning because I'm committed to growing in my faith with Jesus. That is unordinary. You may live with this deep sense of spiritual drive where you're doing things that don't make sense to anybody else. But you're not driven by what other people think. You're living for an audience of one. You're living to please Jesus. And when you do that, I promise you, your life is not going to be ordinary. And so here's what I want to do as we lay the foundation for this series. Here it is I want to invite you to join unordinary followers of Jesus, of leaving the ordinary road, because you've got to admit, when you look at ordinary, it's just not working. It's not working for anybody. Now, leave the ordinary road because it's broken and it's overwhelmed and it's miserable and it's fear or it's shame or it's regret. But I want to let you know that it doesn't have to be that way. Instead, it can be full of peace and joy and purpose and momentum and a deep sense of fulfillment and knowing your life is making an eternal difference. Here's the reality is that if you want what ordinary people have, you do what ordinary people do. But if you want what very few people have, then you've got to do what few people do. And in order to do that, you've got to change the way that you think, because the way that you think shapes the way that you live, and you've got to change the way that you act. I want to invite you this morning to bow your heads and pray with me.